Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ladies and gentlemen, the moment you've been waiting for, the second century Jammy Award!
That was fireworks at the end, by the way.
Yeah, good, good. Yeah, it's getting hectic. Hello and welcome to Toon Jam. I'm Matt.
And I'm J-Man.
And yes, it's 200 episodes.
Wow.
Would you believe it?
Wow.
That is crazy. One episode for every one of our listens.
Which is mainly me.
Yes.
Checking it's done.
Oh, but I jest. It's lovely to have you here at this momentous occasion. I cannot believe we've done 200 episodes.
It doesn't seem right, does it? You'd think we'd have run out of shows at this point.
I know, yeah.
But there's more than 200 cartoons.
And they just keep going. So, right, okay, well, I mean, we've got plenty to get through, so
yeah.
Let me explain to you. So this is the Jammy Awards, in which we talk about the previous 100 episodes. So we did it after 100 episodes, and now we're doing it after 200 episodes, and we give out awards for several different things from the last 100 episodes that we've watched and you've listened to. So let's dig straight in, and we're going to start with the best way a show can start, and that's with the best theme song.
So
the nominees are Rugrats for Rugrats theme tune, Silverhawks for Silverhawks theme tune, and Charlie Chalk.
Oh yeah,
Charlie Chalk theme tune. So there are nominees. Just to sort of give you a quick roundup of how that goes. You know, you've got Rugrats, which is, you know, just do 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 do, really easy to play, like on a keyboard.
That's it. Yeah.
You know it.
Probably one of the most played theme songs on a keyboard, I'd say.
Yeah. Easily. So that has to go on there, and obviously, you know, this is from the new version, which is the same theme tune as well.
Yeah.
So. Can't go wrong there. Silverhawks, you know, such fantastic beat there.
Yeah,
it's sort of like it kind of kicks in like dun 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 dun. Partly metal, partly real. Silverhawks, and so on and so forth. I'm not gonna do the whole songs to you. Just my fun bit of it, and then Charlie Chalk. Which is super, super catchy. You've got Charlie Chuck, a wacky wheel walking in a funny weird ducking. Charlie Chuck, he's Charlie Chuck. I mean, that's just so upbeat. that it's unreal. So we've got three quite different theme tunes there.
Yeah.
As we said, Rugrats is interesting because there's no lyrics.
Yeah. Yeah, just the notes alone are iconic.
Yeah,
just as they are, as simple as they are. But I think with that as well, it shows the sign of a good theme tune, because it sounds almost as if it's just like a kid playing with a xylophone. You know,
yeah.
Like you could imagine Tommy Pickles invented the Rugrats theme tune.
Yeah, it's absolutely perfect for that show.
Mm.
And it still sticks in your head even though there are no words.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff right there.
That is
top quality. Mark Mothersbaugh, I think, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
You can't.
Plenty of good theme tunes.
Oh, yeah.
This is just, you know, one of the jewels in his crown.
That's it. And I mean, it's just like filtered down to just what, you know, what a theme tune can be. It's like, it's not overly complex. It's not grandiose. It's not got all these words that other theme songs have. No need for it. It's just filtered down to the finest sound.
And it's got those cool, like, backing sounds that are so 90s as well.
Oh, yeah. Just the little
obviously, I mean, when this show started, we were a 90s cartoon show, so you know we've got a soft spot for it.
That's true.
But it's all that, you know, like, ba-ba.
Yeah.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. It's like clearly on a keyboard, but
something cool about that, isn't there?
Yeah. So obviously Rugrats, we're big fans of Silverhawks.
Yeah.
This one, incredible lyrics.
Yeah. Partly metal, partly real, is just a lyric that you never forget.
No, that is stunning.
Yeah.
That you can run out so early on in a song of real things to say about a group of superheroes, I suppose.
Yeah.
In metal suits.
Mm. And this is a good, like, you know, the 80s era of songs where it's like someone's come up with like a concept of just weird humanoid characters, and then somebody else has got to be like, how do we make a song about this? Like, what are we? And they're literally just kind of describing what they're seeing. But it's like they full on made it work, you know?
Yeah. And it's so bombastic.
It really is. Yeah.
It's truly bombastic.
And if I remember rightly, you know, the sonic magic of Silverhawks didn't stop with just the theme song, because on the episode we watched, there's that weird, like, what's he called? Like the circus child thing.
I can't.
Like,
yeah, he has a hilarious voice, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's like a weird. He just like whistles as in a high pitch.
It doesn't end in the theme tune, so you know what you're getting in that theme tune.
Yeah.
And then you've got Charlie Chalk.
Yeah.
Which is so rocking.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
This is like proper fun time memories of being a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a solid. Kids theme tune song.
Yeah. Like, and it sticks in your head as well, doesn't it? Like,
oh yeah,
it's so simple.
But it goes with the show really well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you see him kind of bouncing around on the intro and stuff. It's like, yeah, like I feel like I know what
actually as well, it's kind of more rocking than the show can be with its form of animation. it brings it up quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's the only time you really see him in sunglasses.
That's true, yeah.
Because it's such a rocking tune.
Yeah, it's actually got way more energy than the rest of the show, hasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Thinking about it, it's a good way to sort of just, like, implant that memory that Charlie Chalk was, like, really active. When the show starts, it's just, like, beach noise and just a non-moving face for a lot of it.
But it works. Somehow it works.
Yeah.
Okay, right, okay, well... Let's come down to it. We've got to pick the best theme song.
Mm.
It's difficult.
It is difficult.
Have you got a favourite? Have you got a favourite that's come into mind?
I do really like, as iconic as Rugrats is, there's something special about Silverhawks for me.
Yeah, I know what you say. I think it, I, and, you know, not to put any of them down.
Mm.
Rugrats has a simplicity that's edging up high, but it's the ludicrousness of Silverhawks.
Yeah.
I think it adds, it's both hilarious and it is actually, you know, you get excited when you could put this on your gym playlist.
That's it. And I don't think you can do that with the other two.
No. Okay. So the award for best theme song goes to Silverhawks. Do yourself a favor and go and YouTube it.
Oh yeah.
And listen to it nonstop.
It's a banger. It is a banger.
It's a real club banger. Right. Next up. Got best art and animation style. So nominees are, this is a big one really.
Yeah, it is a big one.
For a animation show. So the nominees are The Cuphead Show, mm-hmm. Maya and the Three.
Nice.
And Big Top Burger.
Yeah.
So we've got three very different shows here really.
Yeah.
So starting with The Cuphead Show. This is very much like revival classic animation.
Yeah.
And it does it in a really good way, which is, I mean, we've talked about this so many times on the show, the way they use animation and the way they, you know, they try to bring it back. Mm. And sometimes they miss the mark. Sometimes they slightly hit it. This completely captured it, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You really get the feel, like if you see a still of this or if you see it in motion, if you didn't know what it was, you'd think it was an old cartoon. Like, yeah. Like they've got it down. You know, they've really got the feel of it, from like, you know, the textures in the background and stuff to the way everybody moves and the, you know, the rubber hose hands and stuff.
And that's it. It's like not only are all the characters specifically sort of designed to create that feeling, but there is, like you say, the background stuff. There's parts where it's like claymation background.
Yeah, yeah.
And things like that, which, you know, all if you've watched specific like Fleischer cartoons or Disney cartoons, there'll be stuff you recognize from that in this. So if you are like a mega cartoon head, like classic animation head, this has got so much for you. Then we've got sort of coming straight into the current, into the now, Maya and the Three, which does an amazing job of being both sort of a, you know, real Cartoon Network, Nickelodeon style animation, but bringing it into a realistic CG form.
Yeah, yeah, it's a real cool, it's got like a real hybrid feel to it, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Like all the characters and the set pieces and everything, like they look amazing. Like it's a really nice show to look at in general.
Yeah.
But the characters and stuff, like the designs of them were somehow both intricate and simplified. It's really it's always kind of hard to describe the way that, you know, how well they were done. And it moves really well. There's so many cool things that they did in the show, from, you know, some of the magic effects to, you know, just like the places that they went to. And the one thing specifically that I won't forget is just how often they sort of break out of the letterbox of all the time, was something that I was like, that's amazing. That's really cool. Especially because I thought my TV was breaking at that time. I remember.
It really did. Like, the thing is with this animation, you noticed it all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's what's interesting about all of these sort of contestants or nominees. And the next one, Big Top Burger. So this is interesting because it's essentially all done on Blender, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's a really different type of style because it looks very, it's got those 2D things. You know, you've got like the lines and stuff, like the thin lines, like it's hand drawn, but it's very much a 3D animation. You know, like when you see things in motion, you can be like, oh, is that 3D? And I like that it was blurring the lines there between the two.
Yeah.
But the characters do look really cool, and they're very much got an iconic look to them, haven't they? Like,
yes, yeah.
Everyone's got a cool style, like they're everyone's faces are all kind of similar, like Worthy, the guy that does it, like he's got a really nice and very notable style already.
And it kind of shows you, exactly what you can do, like with that budget sort of thing.
Yeah, and I think
with a low budget at least.
That's the big difference with this one as well, is this is pretty much one guy that did, did this whole thing. Whereas, you know, you've got studios that are making stuff that, you know, a lot of the time they're churning out something that looks very similar to something else, which we've said many times on the show, you know, with a lot of adult animation at the minute, it looks copy and pasted almost. Whereas, you've got this show and it's like you wouldn't mistake Big Top Burger for something else.
No.
Because it looks so different.
Okay, well, again, we've talked about them all. Let's pick one. I think, personally, I mean, this is a tough one because they're all really good in their own special way, and they all are worth the mention.
Yeah,
I think I'm sort of gravitating towards Maya and the Three.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that and Cuphead, both the amount of work that's clearly gone into it.
I think Maya and Three, that's in my head, I think is constantly now like the go-to for what modern animation should be like, trying to sort of, you know, that's the new benchmark, I think.
And I think that's why I'm sort of going towards it, because it's bringing something new to the table. And you know, like Big Top Burger, an amazing accomplishment.
Oh yeah.
Cuphead as well, but Maya and the Three is the peak of modern animation, really, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, definitely the best show. the best looking show that we've watched for a while is Maya and the Three, like for a long
time. Okay, so best art and animation style goes to Maya and the Three.
Congratulations!
There you go. Check it out. It's an excellent show. Okay, now moving on. So this one's an interesting one. We've got best concept. This is sort of like the best initial idea.
Yeah.
So the nominees are Smiling Friends. Adventure Beast.
Nice.
And the first mention of David the Gnome.
Any mentions?
You've been waiting for him and he's here. Okay, so let's go through him. Smiling Friends.
Yeah, wow, what a show.
That this one we picked because it's the concept of it is just, and there's a few adult swimmers, but this one, it's hilarious.
It is.
It's just like people that just try to make people smile, try to make them happy. It's like the most morose show going.
Yeah, for saying it's called Smiling Friends. The episode that we watched was so great.
Yeah, and it's picked because it's an amazing concept and well played out as well, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Like they've thought about, they've gone against their own concept with it.
Yeah, with episode one.
Yeah.
Here's how this can go horribly wrong.
So immediately, we had to pick that. Adventure Beast. Now this was picked because what we liked so much about it was that it was a way of teaching you about wildlife.
Yeah.
And sort of the of like nature. It's like a nature documentary mixed with adult animation.
It's edutainment, I think they used to call it, didn't they? Or something. Some weird.
Yeah, some strange hybrid between the two.
Yeah.
But it is. You don't see much like this, really.
No.
And if you do, it's definitely not played out in the same way.
No, not at all. It's got a very unique tone, hasn't it, Adventure?
Yeah.
Like, because they must have, that I think that's the thing, is that the concept, like someone, they obviously sat down and thought, like, we want to teach people about stuff, but we can't do it in the same way that everybody else has.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it special, isn't it? The fact that it's like, you're learning like flash facts about animals and stuff, but then also someone's getting like ripped apart or something.
Yeah. And it's playing into a ludicrous story.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's one of them things that you watch and you're like, oh, I wonder why no one's done this before. And you don't, and it kind of, even if they had done, you'd forget it because they hadn't done it this way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely something different.
And then we've got, of course, David the Gnome.
Well, what more needs to be said about
it? I mean, David the Gnome, a show about gnomes. He's a gnome vet.
Yeah.
And you follow his life, and he teaches you every single facet of gnome life.
Mm.
I mean,
it's simple, but
the way they've done it.
Yeah. We were overwhelmed with the information, weren't we?
I mean, if you can't tell by now, this really, it overwhelmed us in so many ways.
It was like going to Gnome University. full on sat down, and there was like a lecture of just like, what is gnomes? How are gnomes? When is gnome? Like, just
this is like edumation. Right here. Did you know a gnome is the same height as 1.5 ice creams?
I just didn't know that at all. No.
Not until David the Gnome.
Yeah.
So there you go. We've got three excellent contestants there for best concept. Now, it's a struggle because obviously whenever David the Gnome comes up, it's hard to think of anything else.
Yeah.
But I'm going to, because it's like the thing that's steering me away from it, believe it or not, is the fact that it was a book anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's not necessarily an original concept.
Yeah.
Which is not necessarily the award, but at the same time, I feel that has to come into it.
Yeah.
The other two are pretty original.
Mm.
One simple yet ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm actually going with sort of Adventure Beast.
Yeah.
Because I've never seen anything like it.
It definitely, like, it's almost kind of hard to explain to people because there's nothing else out there that you can be like, well, you know that other show that's very similar. It's its own thing, isn't it, completely? And I think it's really fun. It's really smart the way that they've done it. And yeah. I did enjoy learning about this stuff as well. Like, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like I sat down to be like, oh, here we go, here's another animal thing. Like, it was such a cool way to ingest all that information in a very different, like, offbeat kind of show. So yeah, I think that's fair with Adventure Beast. Yeah.
Okay then. So best overall concept goes to Adventure Beast.
Get that.
Fun stuff. Right, okay. Moving on. Next award is the best overall message. So here we're looking at the kind of message that the show, or in some cases single animation, as you'll find out what I mean, kind of gives out to you as the audience, and to, you know, and just to the general populace, whatever your age may be, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay, so best overall message nominees are Owl House, Tear Along the Dotted Line, and Pink Panther Christmas. So there you go. It's our first Christmas special on there. Yeah. And spoiler alert only. Okay. So, Owl House. This is obviously, we did this not long ago. But this is another one that kind of surprised us, isn't it?
Yeah.
It just kind of says, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, be who you are. It's like you'll fit in a way.
Yeah, yeah. It felt really nice the way that they did it. The fact that it was like half overt, half covert in a way. In the fact that, you know, the as the story progressed, sort of thing, like they found their way, that it was, you know, they could be a part of something, like they weren't excluded anymore, sort of thing. And it was a really nice way of just sort of like having the character, like, you know, discover something that it wasn't necessarily, you know, the place that they thought they were going to find, you know, home, I suppose, but somewhere completely different. And it was cool. I think we really sort of like went on a journey with that character in a really small space of time, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah. And it just, you could tell that there's so many people that would watch that and feel some sort of comfort or place in the world, which is such a big thing, really, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Just the way that by the time it finished, you know, I think you did feel like, oh, you know, maybe there is somewhere that I'd, you know, I'd feel there in, or, you know, it had a real hopeful kind of undertone, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Terror on the Dotted Line. This it was very much like, you know, a personal message, but you know, of the, you know, what was it, a zero lime scale?
Yeah, yeah.
If you remember, but it just, it was all about life and just, you know, it was him dealing with death, wasn't it? Essentially,
yeah.
And everything in life, like love, loss, death, and even down to little things. There's so much in it that you can associate with, and it will make you laugh and it will make you cry. I thought this show was really, it felt like something new.
Yeah, yeah. It was. I think that the personal side of it really made it different from other things. Like you really felt like it was his perspective, his view of the world, and it was really nice to sort of go through those stages, those from the little things to the, you know, the annoyances that got out of hand, to like dealing with, you know, life changing moments, and you know how you come out of the other end from that, which is something that, like, you know, some shows often like purposefully shy away from. You know,
yeah.
Like, because it's not easy to put that down into a 20-minute animation or whatever. So, yeah, like, it's well played on putting all that on the line, really.
Yeah, and a real, like, realistic approach to it. It's not, like, telling you necessarily how to deal with it. Mm. It's just sharing with you how he dealt with it.
Exactly.
Which is more, it's like, it's a better way of understanding yourself.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, here's how I did things. Like, you know, take what you will from it, sort of thing.
Yeah. And then we've got Pink Panther Christmas, which is essentially the Pink Panther is homeless at Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's him, like, by the end, he kind of has like almost like a breakdown, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And then sort of he's trying to fit in. And then, you know, by the end, he's shown some kindness.
Mm-hmm.
But how often do you see homelessness in a cartoon that isn't just treated as, you know, like a joke?
Yeah.
And yeah. I think it was a real surprise to come from such an old show as well.
Yeah, this one really caught us off guard, I think, in the fact that we weren't, especially when you sit down for like a Christmas show, you just kind of expect the jollies, don't you, really?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, it's another, you know, we're just going to have a good laugh. You know, joy and cheer and goodwill to everyone. But this was the flip side of that, wasn't it? Was that, like, there are people out there that don't have that experience.
And I think it's that thing of, like goodwill to everyone. It kind of showed you that, you know, what goodwill to everyone should really mean.
Yes, yeah.
Because, you know, you just see it as what people that are either you know or maybe someone you see in a shop or something, you know, maybe the odd nice, but this kind of showed you those people that don't fit into society.
Yeah.
And it was really, it did hit not a nerve, but it really hit home, didn't it?
Oh yeah. Yeah. The way that it did it was really, really well done. Like you couldn't help but think about that after you'd, you know, after the credits had rolled, sort of thing. Like, it's a really good message and delivered in a way that, like, it's strange to think that it was the Pink Panther that kind of handed you that one.
Yeah, and I think that kind of made it more important, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so we've got to give out the award. Is there any that you're gravitating towards here?
I do like Pink Panther Christmas. I think that was I think that handled things because it's just so different. But I do also like Tear the Dotted Line. Was it covered so much, you know, like it was like a whole life almost being lived out and trying to give you something from that.
I think I know what you mean. I think the only thing that's drawing, I'm being drawn towards Pink Panther simply because it's kind of, it gave a voice to there's not going to be many people that are homeless watching it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
So it's giving voice to them to you, the way you wouldn't get that voice.
I think the message, I suppose, was a bit more easier to grasp from that as well.
Yeah.
Whereas Tear the Dotted Line is still kind of a, you know, it's still kind of a mystery almost, but it was very clear, you know.
Yeah.
Pink Panther, like, it left you with a particular feeling, didn't it, when it had ended?
Yeah, yeah. And at that time of year as well, when you are, you know, you're susceptible to giving, yet not necessarily to the right place always.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay then. So, best overall message, Pink Panther Christmas.
Yeah.
Incredible. Okay. Right, now, moving on to more ridiculous awards, or award. Least likable main character. So, here we go. We've got the some good suspects here. So, first up, first nominee, Caillou.
Caillou.
You remember Caillou. Martin Mystery. And Dal from Star Trek Prodigy. Okay, so Caillou.
Wow.
I mean, this brat.
Yeah.
Is exactly that.
Yeah, infamous on the internet, you know, worldwide.
Yeah.
For being.
Yeah, that's it. Like, world class asshole.
Nobody likes you.
Yeah, he's basically a brat kid that always gets his way and is just horrible to his sister.
Yeah,
he's just a wretched creature, isn't he? Really,
really is. Yeah, tiny little bold idiot.
So yeah, no one likes Caillou. Martin Mystery, just a bit of a jerk, as I remember.
Yeah, he was just. I remember him just being lame.
Yeah, like, that's and that's the worst thing about him. He's very, very lame. And I think it's probably the thing you'd least like about him is that at the time he was probably cool.
Yeah.
And it's almost upsetting to realise you were once lame when you were trying to be cool.
Such a tryhard.
And he's got like that t-shirt, that shirt on with flames, hasn't
he? Oh, yeah.
It's just like, oh, man.
That says it all in one.
Yeah. That's the trouble with Martin Mystery is he makes you embarrassed about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Dal from Star Trek Prodigy.
Yeah. I remember really struggling with this show, mainly because he was on screen most of the time. The rest of the show, it turned out, was okay. But I remember this being like, I can't remember the last time I hated a main character so much. Like, just... Yeah, not fun.
He did all the wrong things, wound you up, and visually it was a bit annoying.
Yeah.
Which never helps.
No. And it's like, imagine, like, we only watched the first episode, and it's you're queuing yourself up because you're like, how could anyone watch a series of this guy? You know? Like, how's he supposed to lead a team? Like,
It kind of was the problem, wasn't it, that he was being pegged as the leader?
Yeah.
When he was clear, like, failed.
He was a real
belief.
Yeah, he was a real Martin Mystery.
He's a real Martin Mystery, which, to be honest, says a lot about Martin Mystery. Okay, so it's time to make the choice. I've got to be honest, I think it's a fair point to just say Caillou on this one.
Yeah, I mean, we should all really like Caillou because it's like a toddler or whatever.
Yeah.
He's a kid. It's not his fault, but...
But it's like, not only is he, you know, there's that and you still don't like him.
Yeah.
But he sends the wrong message out.
Yeah.
To children.
It really does, yeah.
So... Yeah.
Caillou,
yeah. So least likable main character goes to Caillou. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening. If you want to help the show keep going, you can be extra jammy by heading over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/toonjampod. Here you can get a shout out on the show or unlock bonus episodes. Ratings and reviews anywhere you listen to the podcast also really help us out. So thank you, and stay jammy.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.